We appreciate you tuning in. We're going to get in the program here, but first, it's time for the joke of the week. Holly, what do flowers wear underneath their petals?
Stems?
They're underplants.
I like it.
And this week's garden joke is brought to you by Rescue.com.
This week is brought to you by Rescue.com. American-made rescue products keep your family home and yard protected from pests, insects like wasps, hornets, yellow jackets, fire ants, and more. Find out at Rescue.com. That's R-E-S-C-U-E.com.
Early season frost-tolerant plants, Holly. Frost-tolerant is a... what does that mean?
It basically means that it's the crop's ability to survive a frost or below freezing temperatures. So it doesn't mean that if a hard freeze comes in.
18, 12 degrees.
Yeah. So it's like 18, 12 degrees. It's something, you know, like around 30, 36.
Right. When the air cools below the dew point, now that's a whole other thing, but dew points can be formed on the surface if temperatures are also below 36, the result can be frost, which is frozen ice crystals. The general rule of thumb is most plants freeze when temperatures hit or remain at 28 degrees for 5 hours. Of course, there are exceptions to the rule. Seedlings that are more tender will freeze at 32 and even 33. In tropicals, that's a whole nother batch of stuff, but other plants are just hardy by nature and can withstand temperatures as low as 18 to 20 degrees, and if not lower.
That's impressive.
Yes. And it all depends on your location and not just the city that you're in. If they're calling for frost tonight, that doesn't necessarily mean that your garden's going to get hit. If you follow our video series on our parent website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com. We garden predominantly in Holly's mother's backyard. And it sets in a unique environmental condition, I guess, because we can have frost. Neighbors can have frost, both sides, front and back, and that garden doesn't get touched. Just by the uniqueness of the way it sets in the city, it is, it's got a unique, what do they call that?
Ecosystem.
Ecosystem, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
So we're going to talk about these frost-tolerant vegetables. And so the first one is broccoli, and I'm going to kind of group cauliflower in with the broccoli as well, or we can talk about them separately, but broccoli, once you have it established, you can start it from seed. And you can get that outside and be frost tolerant.
Right. Now, again, if you've got seedlings inside, and you can start them X amount of weeks before your last average frost date, and you can put them out a couple of weeks before your last average frost date, which means the nights are going to be chilly, and there's going to be potential frost. Frost doesn't mean freeze. These plants, you still have to harden them off. You're bringing them out from, let's say, 72 degrees in your home, in your grow room, under the grow lights, from the windowsill, and you're taking them outside to where it's 40 degrees on a good day and 35 or 4 on a good night. You have to harden them off. That's a process of acclimating the plants to the environment in which they are going to be living in or planted in for the duration of their lifespan. So you can do this over the course of several days, gently taking them out of the environment in which they're in, in your home, setting them in a shaded area on the porch, and then gradually working them out into full sun and overnight. Onions, leeks, brassicas, all of these cool weather crops still have to be hardened off if you are starting them indoors and putting them outside.
Right. So you can't just take your plants and go from outside, from inside to outside.
They will die.
You have to give them, yes, support, acclimation.
Essentially, it's like having and this is a terrible example, but it points to how significant it is. A newborn baby throwing it in a pond of ice water. it's not going to survive. I know it's a horrible example, but that's what's happening to these plants. You're taking them from 72 and putting them outside into a frigid temperature without getting them acclimated. And I don't think a baby could get acclimated to a pond of ice water, but I think you understand where I'm going with this example.
Right, right, exactly. It's a shock.
Yes.
Yes. So we're going to talk about the Brussels sprouts. They're fun to grow. A lot of people don't realize that they're kind of a long season vegetable. Some people will put them outside in spring, and then they're like, okay, it's midsummer, why aren't these doing anything? And it takes the whole full
120 to 150 days on most Brussels sprout varieties.
Yeah.
And once they get to a mature state, they can sit in the garden in some environments through December, early January, and you can harvest them as you need them. Other environments where it turns off 0 degrees for weeks on end, you got to get them out of the garden prior to that.
Absolutely. And so there's a whole process of Brussels sprouts. You do this where you cut the top off.
Growth tip.
But homegrown Brussels sprouts are absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Chives will come back year after year. You can divide the clump if you want to, so you don't have to start them each year, but you can divide them and move them throughout the garden area and utilize those on a regular basis. Kale can be quite hardy down to, in a mature state, it can get down to 18, 20 degrees without any problem. Peas are the same way. However, again, we want to be very cautious of when we are either starting the seeds outside or transplanting them when we have that very tender time of that freeze frost area where it can go up and down and potentially damage the plants. Now, if you are planting, let's go with peas here. If you're planting peas outside, they can withstand a little more coldness than if you was to start peas indoors, harden them off, and take them outside. Don't start peas indoors. People do it. It's a big hassle. Just pre-soak your peas for about 12 hours. Plant them outside according to your environmental conditions. But again, growing from seed to a seedling outside, the plants are much more tolerable of the cold temperatures than a seedling in which you started indoors, hardened off, and then took outside.
Yeah, exactly. So then we have kale. Kale is something that it's frost tolerant in the spring, and then it's even almost freeze tolerant. Tolerant in the fall. So it can survive a freeze, and then even then it gets tastier.
Radishes are almost more enjoyable. They like to grow when the ground is a little chilly, because as the heat and the day length gets longer and warmer, they tend to bolt, like many of these cool weather crops will do, due to the day length, not so much the heat temperature, because these are light sensitive as well as cool sensitive plants. So you can get those in the ground. Or if you're like us, we've had radishes voluntarily be planted for almost a decade now in our front yard garden, because we had a whole bunch of them. They went to seed, and now they've just continued to come year after year. And then we don't always harvest all of them, and they go to seed, and they just kind of replant themselves. So we get a free planting and harvest of them early on in the spring. But, yeah, they like that cool weather. Spinach is the same thing. But spinach is cool tolerant to a degree, and then it will go to bolt. Substitute, if you like spinach, plant Swiss chard. And that is a great substitute in which you can utilize all season long. It is not conducive to just cool weather temperatures. You can plant in the cool weather and grow it all the way to frost. But a hard freeze, it will wilt and it will be inedible.
I don't know if I would say Swiss chard is necessarily like a one-to-one replacement to spinach, but it has that like leafy green.
What you can do with spinach, you can do with Swiss chard.
Yeah. I prefer Swiss chard over spinach personally.
Okay.
Just for kind of digestive reasons and whatnot.
If you have tummy issues, you might want to be aware of what you're, don't go eating a whole bowl of it if you're not sure how these things will react your system.
All of our bodies kind of connect differently with leafy greens. So speaking of food-related topics.
Yes.
We are brought to you today by our sponsor, Walton's Inc. Listen, we know you care about where your food comes from, canning, preserving, that's all great. But what about the meat? At Walton's, you can get the
Everything you need.
Everything you need.
Except for the meat.
Except for the meat, you can get the equipment, seasoning, and supplies to make sausage, jerky, and any other meat products your way to your high standards. They have a community out there called meatgistics.com, and it's over 15,000 users that use this community to help you get snack sticks that are delicious, ask questions, what have you, meat processing, all the good stuff. And Walton says everything from meat grinders, mixers, sausage stuffers, and more to help you go from animal to edible. Walton's, everything but the meat you can use.
They also have seasonings if you don't do the butcher stuff. So
Delicious seasoning.
Just a reminder there. I know you said it, but I'll say it again. And they have a coupon code.
They have a coupon code. You use code GROW50, so it's GROW50, to save 10% off your order of $50 or more. That's waltonsinc.com.